It's wonderful to see everybody here again this morning. Glad to be back. I missed being with everybody last week. Yes, we were there on the beach, but I still did miss being here with everybody as we were traveling back there the last part of Sunday. But we had a wonderful trip, nice and relaxing, but really glad to be back to be with y'all as y'all are my family. And when I'm away, it really means a lot to me. And so just glad to be back. Hope everybody's had a wonderful week. And yes, today is a special day in the church as we are celebrating Mother's Day. And it is often said that behind every great man is his mother. Someone once imagined the mothers of some well-known sons making the following comments. Miss Moore saying, Sam, stop tapping your fingers on the table. You're driving me crazy. Miss Lindbergh, Charles, you can't do anything by yourself. Or Miss Washington, George never did have a head for money. Or Miss Armstrong, Neil has no more business taking flying lessons than the man on the moon. Because can you think of anyone else who has more potential to have a positive influence on a child than a mother does? A mother creates a close bond with her children, and this bond lasts for a lifetime. Moms can either have the influence to have a positive or a negative impact. A mother has the opportunity, like Timothy's mother, to plant the seeds of faith that God can use later in that child's life to lead that child into a life of daily walking and serving the Lord. One of life's greatest blessings is actually to have a godly mother. Abraham Lincoln once declared that no man is poor who had or has a godly mother. One of the greatest gifts that you can give to your children is actually to be a godly parent. And this morning in the book of Exodus chapter 2, I want to look at an example there of one godly mother that is taken from the pages of the book of Exodus. The mother of the human writer of that book, a lady by the name of Jochebed. So let's begin looking here in Exodus chapter 2, beginning in verse 1. As Moses writes, "Now a man from the house of Levi went and took as his wife a Levite woman. The woman conceived and bore a son, and when she saw that he was a fine child, she hid him 3 months. When she could hide him no longer, she took for him a basket made of bulrushes and daubed it with bitumen and pitch. She put the child in it and placed it among the reeds by the riverbank. And his sister stood at a distance to know what would be done to him. Now the daughter of Pharaoh came down to bathe at the river while her young women walked beside the river. She saw the basket among the reeds and sent her servant woman, and she took it. When she opened it, she saw the child, and behold, the baby was crying, and she took pity on him and said, 'This is one of the Hebrews' children.' Then his sister said to Pharaoh's daughter, 'Shall I go and call you a nurse from the Hebrew women to nurse the child for you?' And Pharaoh's daughter said to her, 'Go.' So the girl went and called the child's mother." In this story, what we see is the example of a godly mother. Jochebed herself was a godly mother, as we can see throughout this story. Jochebed, the name means glory of Jehovah, or Jehovah is our glory. And as you look at her, she was from the tribe of Levi. She was an Israelite, one of God's people. But as I said, she was specifically from the tribe of Levi. That's which the priests come out of, and those who would carry out the duties of the tabernacle and of the temple. And so Jochebed herself was a godly woman who, as we can see throughout this story, she stood upon her faith. She had a relationship with God as her sovereign Lord and King. Listen to me this morning. Nothing will have a more profound and lasting influence in the lives of your children and the lives of your grandchildren than to have a godly and good example in their home. That is what has the most influence upon your children, to see a mom and a dad who is praying over them, to see a mom and a dad who is studying God's word and seeking God out in all that they do, to see a mom and a dad who is loving all those who are around them. That is the greatest influence that you can have upon your children. And it is an influence that will last throughout all time. Dr. Benjamin Carson, he's the director of pediatric neurosurgery at Johns Hopkins Children's Center. He wrote an essay entitled, "There is no job more important than parenting." And in that, he was writing about the influence of his mother in his own life. And he wrote, "Over the years, my mother's steadfast faith in God has inspired me. Particularly when I had to perform extremely difficult surgical procedures or when I found myself faced with my own medical scare. A few years ago," he wrote, "I discovered I had a very aggressive form of prostate cancer. I was told it might have already spread to my spine. My mother, though, was steadfast in her faith in God. She never worried. She said that God was not through with me yet, that there was no way that this was going to be a major problem." He said the abnormality in his spine turned out to be benign and that he was able to have surgery and he is now cured. And he said, "My story is really my mother's story. A woman with little formal education or worldly goods who used her position as a parent to change the lives of many people around the globe." Because that's what a godly mother does. She has a great impact not only in the life of her child, but through her child on many other people. And so what does it look like to be a godly mother, or for that fact, a godly father? What does it look like? Well, James 5:16 says, "Therefore confess your sins to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The prayer of the righteous person has great power as it is working." So the godly mother is one who prays for and with her children. Deuteronomy 11:19 says, "You shall teach them to your children, talking of them when you are sitting in your house, and when you are walking by the way, and when you lie down, and when you rise." So the godly mother is one who is studying God's word, but she is also teaching it to her children. 2 Timothy 1:5 says, "I'm reminded of your sincere faith, a faith that dwelt first in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and now I am sure dwells in you as well." The godly mother is one who sets an example by the life that they are living. Psalm 103:13 says, "As a father shows compassion to his children, so the Lord shows compassion to those who fear Him." The godly mother is one who has a compassionate heart. And then in Philippians 1:27 it says, "Only let your manner of life be worthy of the gospel of Christ, so that whether I come and see you or am absent, I may hear of you that you are standing firm in one spirit with one mind, striving side by side for the faith of the gospel." The godly mother is one who stands firm in her faith. And what we are going to see is through this story here in Exodus, that this is what Jochebed does for her son Moses. Because as we begin to look at this passage, we are first of all presented with her dilemma that she is facing. See, Jochebed is living in a hostile environment. Her life is not a bed of roses. She is born in Egypt as a daughter of Levi, and all she has known throughout her entire life is the curse of slavery. Because, see, the Egyptians, they weren't very fond of the Israelites. The Israelites were growing big, and they were afraid that the Israelites would join together with an enemy, and they would be able to defeat them, and so they feared the Israelites. And so what they did is they forced them into slavery. They made their life difficult. In Exodus chapter 1, beginning in verse 13, it says, "So they ruthlessly made the people of Israel work as slaves and made their lives bitter with hard service in mortar and brick and in all kinds of work in the field. In all their work, they ruthlessly made them work as slaves." Well, see, here's Jochebed. She could have easily began complaining. She could have easily began whining, and nobody would have said anything against it, because if we were all in that situation, let's be honest with ourselves, that's probably what we would be doing. But no, she doesn't do that. Instead, Jochebed would not allow herself to surrender to the hopelessness of life as a slave in Egypt. But it gets worse, because in fear of the Israelites, what Pharaoh decided to do was he released an edict so that every male Hebrew would be killed. They were all to be thrown into the Nile River. And for anyone who did not obey Pharaoh's order, well, they were probably risking either life in prison or even their own life. That's the dilemma that Jochebed was faced with. Do I obey what Pharaoh is telling me to do? You know, today we live in a world that is hostile towards Christians and biblical Christianity. Yes, today in America we do not face the overt persecution that the Israelites faced at the hands of the Egyptians. But if we are honest, as we look around, there is growing opposition and antagonism towards Christianity throughout this world. Jesus himself predicted that this would be true, because in John chapter 15, beginning in verse 18 through 19, he says, "If the world hates you, know that it has hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would then love you as its own. But because you are not of the world, but I chose you out of the world, therefore the world hates you." So yes, what we see is that the world is going to resist us, and each and every single one of us will face a decision. But what godly people must do is to resist and counter the evil pleasures of the world. And that's exactly what we see that Jochebed did, because what we see next is her courage. We find that in that story that Jochebed refused to go with the flow. She refused to consider her own life, her own comfort, her own convenience or safety. She refused to bow down to Egypt's demands. Because look with me, beginning again in verse 1. "Now a man from the house of Levi went and took as his wife a Levite woman. The woman conceived and bore a son, and when she saw that he was a fine child, she hid him for 3 months. Now, yes, Jochebed, she knew the decree that Pharaoh had made. She knew that she was supposed to take her son and to throw him into the Nile River. She knew that if she did not obey, she would be risking her own life. But she did something to save him. The decree just went against everything, basically humane and moral and right. So Jochebed began to fear God more than man. And she made a decision that, even though it put her life in great jeopardy, that proved to be a decision that saved a nation. You know, many of us might ask today, could a mother even ever consider doing that to her own child? Well, today more than 54 million babies have been murdered in the womb by their mothers in the USA alone. And when you add in the worldwide figures, it raises it to more than 500 million, or roughly 1 out of every 24 people have been murdered by abortion, when estimating that the entire world's population to this day is of just a bit over 12 billion people. But by her own courage and seeking to preserve Moses' life, she saved the life of Israel's future lawgiver and the one who was going to lead them out of slavery from the hands of the Egyptians. So Jochebed sought to obey God more than man. And that is where we see her sacrifice. Look with me in verse 4, and his sister stood at a distance to know what would be done. Verse 3, when she could hide him no longer, she took for him a basket made of bulrushes and dabbed it with vitamin and pitch, and she put the child in it and placed it among the reeds by the riverbank. Jochebed made a sacrifice. She had given Moses everything that he needed during those first few months of his life, but then she had to give him up. When she realized that she could no longer hide her infant son, she made a little cradle and she put it there in the reeds and the bushes as protection. And she told Miriam, her younger daughter, to go and to watch over and just to stand guard and see what would happen to Moses. Now again, Jochebed knew what Pharaoh had decreed. She knew that the baby's life would be forfeited if she did not do something to save him. That decree went against everything she believed. So Jochebed feared God more than man, and she made a decision that though it put her life in great jeopardy, it proved to be a decision that saved a nation. And I'm sure as Jochebed was doing this, she probably thought, well, I'm never going to see my son again. But as she did it, she was entrusting her child to God's hands. As she did it, she was living out 2 Corinthians 5:7, which says, for we walk by faith, not by sight. As she did it, she was living out Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 through 6, which says, trust in the Lord with all your heart, and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will make straight your path. She was living out Proverbs 29, verse 35, the fear of man lays a snare, but whoever trusts in the Lord is safe. She had great courage in standing up against Pharaoh, and she was willing to make a sacrifice. Why? Because we can see her faith. Jochebed had faith in God's protection of her baby. She was only willing to sacrifice her son because she trusted that the Lord, that she could abandon her son and trust in the Lord that he would save him. That it was better for her to give her son up than to be killed because she believed that God would take care of her child. Isaiah chapter 7, verse 9 says, and the head of Ephraim is Samaria. And the head of Samaria is a son of Remaliah. If you are not firm in your faith, you will not be firm at all. See, she was very firm in her faith. And because of that, she was firm in what she was doing. She knew that what she was doing would lead to God acting. And that is why the author of Hebrews says in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 23, by faith Moses, when he was born, was hidden for 3 months by his parents because they saw that the child was beautiful and they were not afraid of the king's edict. See, that's not talking about Moses' faith. That is talking about Jochebed's faith. She was a woman of faith. And God was able to work in her situation as a result of Jochebed's faith in God. As children were being murdered around her every single day, she simply said, God, I don't understand why you are allowing this. God, I don't understand why you have planned all this. But God, I trust in you. Here is my son. I entrust him to you. You know, this morning, if we want God to work in our lives and in our families, we must put our faith in him. And as we put our faith in him, then we must put our faith into action. Jochebed didn't just say, I have faith. No, she gave up her son because she trusted that God would take care of him. And this morning, God will and cannot work in our lives without us first placing our trust in him. That's what Hebrews 11, verse 6 says. And without faith, it is impossible to please him. For whoever would draw near to God must believe that he exists and he rewards those who seek him. That for us to experience the reward of God working in our lives, we must first trust in him. And then that's the last thing we see then in this passage is her reward. She gave up what she could not keep. And what we see is that she received back more than what she gave. What we see there in the last few verses of that passage is that Pharaoh's daughter comes along, and it was no accident that Pharaoh's daughter saw this beautiful baby boy and heard his cry and had compassion on him. It was God's providence that caused Pharaoh's daughter to save Moses, and then to even ask Jochebed to nurse the child for her at a given wage. Not only was Jochebed's infant saved, we also see that now she was paid to take care of her own son until he was weaned. Ralph Rengate wrote in his book, Seeing Him, he wrote, God honored Jochebed's faith by catapulting her son from a death sentence to a royal position in the household of the king of Egypt. And the one truth that we can glean from this passage is this, that God always rewards an obedient faith. And the measure of faith is demonstrated by our own obedience. It was Jochebed's love here. It was her faith. It was her courage that saved her child from a cruel and watery death and preserved him to bless the world. It was a mother who loved her God. And it is a mother today who loves the Savior and is in severe anguish when she knows that it is more than just her child's life that is at stake, but it is also his or her soul that is at stake. Let me give you assurance today in that you can have assurance that Jochebed's God still lives and that he is able not to just save Moses' life, but he is able to save all of our children from eternal death. See, Jochebed was a godly mother who laid the foundation for Moses during the first 5 or 6 years of his life. Jochebed was the chief influence used by God during the early formative years in preparing Moses for the great calling that God had upon his life to lead the Israelites out of Egyptian bondage. It was Jochebed's love, faith, and courage in saving her child from death and living a godly life before him that doubtlessly had a profound influence on Moses, as is evidenced in Hebrews chapter 11. Beginning in verse 24, where speaking of Moses, it says, by faith Moses, when he was grown up, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to be mistreated with the people of God than to enjoy the fleeting pleasures of sin. He considered the reproach of Christ greater wealth than the treasures of Egypt, for he was looking to the reward. By faith, he left Egypt, not being afraid of the anger of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. As I said, behind every great man is a great mother. Jochebed had that foundation, or Moses had that foundation laid before him by a godly mother. Jochebed put her faith and trust in God, and said, God, I trust you with my son. And as she let God have control, God provided for Jochebed as she placed her trust in him. And let me tell you this morning, God will do the same for you. As you trust him, he will provide what you need. So my question for you this morning is this. Are you trusting God today? Are you stepping aside and saying, God, I cannot do this on my own. I don't have the strength. I don't have the ability. I've been trying and trying and trying only to be met with failure. And so, God, I know that it is only you that can help me, that I need you in my life today. Do you know Christ as your Lord and your Savior? Are you influencing others around you? Are you influencing your children, your grandchildren, your family, your co-workers, your neighbors by living a godly life? Jochebed had a great influence on Moses. Why? Because she was living a godly example. And that is the greatest thing that you mothers can do here this morning. There's nothing greater than providing a godly example for your children and for your grandchildren, because that is something that they will remember forever. Do they think and say, Mom, my grandmother, she's a godly woman. She's living for God. She's teaching me what I need to know. Follow God, because that is the greatest testimony that you can have, is to say that I provided an example for my children to follow as they follow God themselves. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, just thank you again for this morning. Thank you for the examples of great people that we see in Scripture, the great example of Moses, but not just of Moses himself here this morning, but the example of his mother, who was willing to stand up to the greatest power in the world, to in essence say to Pharaoh, Pharaoh, I know what you've said, but I'm not going to listen to you. What great courage she had to take that stand. But we know that she was only able and willing. Why? Because of the faith that she had placed in you. She knew that you would take care of her precious son. What great courage and strength it took for her to sacrifice her son. But Father, if she had not, then history would have been different. So Father, this morning I pray for all the mothers and the grandmothers and even all of the ladies and all everybody that is here this morning, that we too will have that level of faith, that we will be willing to stand upon our faith and to trust in you in whatever it is in our lives, to give you complete and utter control of what is happening and going on in our lives, so that we too can experience the blessing of you working in our lives. But Father, we know until we let go of those situations, until we give up control and say that there is nothing more that we can, that there is nothing that we can do that is worthless for us to keep on fighting and trying on our own, but that we need you, Father, to work. Then and only then can we experience that great blessing, that reward of you working in and through our lives. So, Father, I pray that we will have that faith and that trust in you, so that we can lean upon you and through that provide great examples for those who are around us, for our families, for our children, for our co-workers, for all those who see us, that they can point to us and say, there is a person who is following God, a person of great faith. Father, I pray that that would be the testimony of all the mothers here this morning. And we thank you for what they have done. We thank you for the many godly examples that already exist here within this church. And we just pray that you would continue to use them to have influence here in this church, in their homes, and throughout this community. And we pray for all of this in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Let's stand as we sing our invitation hymn. This is my